Caroline's in Whitehead this morning. Caroline, what's your biggest worry and or concern at this stage with the change that may come in terms of statementing?
My biggest concern that I would put to the Minister is that in the new proposals, it has been suggested by legal people who are currently in liaison with the Education Committee that under the new legislation there will be a review of all children holding current educational statements, and that as a proposal, around 50% of those children will not meet the new criteria for special needs within the new framework, and therefore 50% of those children will lose overnight the statementing process that they have fought so hard to go through. Now, educational psychologists are crucial to the entire process in statementing children, and at the moment there is a huge deficit in the educational psychology provision within all schools in Northern Ireland. These are trained professionals who are taught to spot individual, very specific educational needs, some of them very complex. Personally speaking, I have two sons, one with autism with a statement and one with autism without a statement. And the main player in the whole statementing process was an educational psychologist. Now, under the current system, school principals' hands are tied in the number of children that they are allowed to refer each year to the board for assessment.
Okay, well, let the Minister come back on that. John O'Dowd.
Well, there's a number of issues there, first of all, Caroline. Yes, there will be a review, but no one should be able to say with any authority, because no figure has been set, that 50% of children will lose their statement. I think that is based on the Scottish experience, because Scotland went through this experience a number of years ago. And we are in a fortunate position in some way, because Scotland went through the experience and they had to go back and change their legislation because they did not get it right. And they did disenfranchise a significant number of young people who should have been under formal legal protection in their education. So let's learn from the Scottish experience. I have no intention of replicating the Scottish experience from the point of view where they made mistakes. Let's make sure we learn from the mistakes. And it's also important to note, we have only a proposal stage here. There's no legislation as yet drew up in regards to these proposals. So we're not even at a halfway house in one sense. What we have is, I have published my response to the consultation process. I have outlined what I believe is the way forward. I am currently still taking on board stakeholders' point of view. I was with the Education Committee a fortnight ago. When I have completed the next phase of listening and consultation, I will set out what I believe to be the way forward. I will require legislation. Not that legislation will have to be agreed by the Executive and the Assembly. So there's no firm legislative proposals in the way, but I want to assure people there's no figure set anywhere. I'm not looking a quota of young people removed from statementing as is. I want to ensure that young people out there with special educational needs are met. And I don't believe that is currently the case.
Well,
psychologists, you're absolutely right.
Could I ask the Minister, are you saying that this decision that is being made, this proposal, has got absolutely nothing to do with saving money and absolutely everything to do with provision for special needs children?
Caroline, I can assure you that at no stage in this proposal, and this process started over three years ago approximately, when we were in much more better financial conditions than we are now, when we had the education budget, while it wasn't fantastic, it was much better than it is now, and it wasn't set off on a chain to save money. This was to improve the delivery of educational services to young people with special educational needs. And indeed, even now we're in a much more difficult budgetary position. My predecessor and I have ring-fenced special educational needs budgets of £210 million.
Well, so why not other areas of education
have seen cuts to services and have seen cuts to their budget, special educational needs budgets have been protected.
Mm-hmm. Why not put that extra funding then in de-identifying children with special needs rather than playing around with a system that's already in place? Why not put that money into paying for more professionals to go into primary schools and provide more support for principals and for classroom teachers who are already heavily overworked and unable to cope with the number of special needs children that don't have adequate provision in schools?
Well, it's not one or the other. I think it's both, Caroline. I think what we have to do is overhaul the system and ensure that the system is working properly and the outcomes are working properly, and we have to continue to seek further investment in education. And so the, both those issues are running in parallel. A number of years ago, there was further investment made in charity colleges. It does take a number of years to train highly qualified professional people. But the other thing, too, is that we have to understand is that we, if, even when we're training more child psychologists, there's no guarantee whatsoever, and this is the same in the medical field, that those psychologists will come back and work for the education board. Those
people can work
in whatever field or sector they wish to work in, and they can also travel overseas to work as well. But I would like to be in a position, I'm continuing reviewing my budgets, I want to be in a position to train, to ensure that more specialists are trained, and to ensure that there's more money than special educational needs. But this is not a money-saving exercise.